Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome, trying to push lots of buttons behind the scenes. That's what's happening right now. Trying to arrange things and push buttons, and because of that, I'm not quite ready. I jumped up as the intro video was playing to try to grab another glass because I'm anticipating that I'm going to drink more than one beer tonight. It's been one of those nights. It's been one of those weeks. It's been a little nuts around here, but we'll talk about all of that. In the meantime, as you jump on, as a reminder, if you're new to this or if you've forgotten what the heck is going on, this is a happy hour. It's a virtual happy hour, an excuse for us all to drink together, which means that as you open up your drink for tonight, tell me what you're drinking. Unless you've opened up today's beer vent beer, because I don't even know what it is yet. I have no clue. I have somehow managed to avoid watching anybody's tasting videos today. Avoided pretty much all social media today to see what is in today's pick. This morning I picked it out of the calendar blindly with my eyes closed, and pulled it out and shoved it in a paper bag, and it's been sitting in the fridge teasing me all day long. And there were several times throughout the day that I really wanted to open up a beer, and I didn't because I was waiting for this to be my first beer with you, although we'll be drinking something else first. So anyways, as you jump on, please tell me what it is you're drinking, unless it's beer vent beer. Then make something else up. let's see. Marco's having a truth, just finished dinner. Julia is having today's beer. Oh, shoot. I know what brewery it's from now. Oh, no. In an Allagash chalice. I'm going to guess it's an Allagash beer. Ryan said, had my celebratory birthday beers for the day. Happy birthday, by the way. Just drinking water right now. Just got back from BC's Brewing. Chris is having a 2023 Whiskey Rebellion 7-year. Good choice. Josh is having a Lotus from Esoteric. And Julia says, when have I ever drank out of proper glassware? Maybe. I doubt that. You wouldn't mention your glassware if it didn't have something to do with this beer in here. Also, with Allagash coming back into Cincinnati, it only makes sense. Okay, but we're not going to do that yet. First, you guys know how this thing goes. We kick off the show with something that we love to call the Schnappening. John is having Great Blizzard Winter Ale from Uniontown. Okay, I'm gonna do this thing right. We're gonna drink some schnapps, and since it's Christmas season, peppermint schnapps it is. Got our moose shot glass. However, as I sat down, I realized that I had two moose shot glasses sitting here, and no, that doesn't mean that my kid is sitting here next to me. It just means that we're going to have to drink two schnapps. I try to do this at least once a year. There it is. We're going to compare them. We're going to let them battle it out head-to-head. Rumpelmann's versus Voltage Peppermint Schnapps. I spend a lot of time telling you that the best peppermint schnapps in the universe is Voltage Peppermint Schnapps. And it might not be fair for me to say that if I don't check every once in a while and just make sure. Science. Got to do it for science. All right, so we're going to start off and get a pour of some Rumpelmann's. It's getting good and crusty in there because it's probably been about a year since I've had it. You could probably go back on this show and find the last time I had it and figure out when exactly it was. All right, there's our Rumpelmann's. Now, on the contrary, I have had Voltage Peppermint Schnapps. I've had it a lot this week. We've been drinking it a lot this week. I know I've told some of you this. I probably have talked about it on the show. I keep several bottles around the house on different floors so that wherever I am during the Christmas season, if I need a little nip of some peppermint schnapps. I've got it. I keep them all in. There was a while, and I don't know what it's at right now, where you couldn't get these cool frosted bottles that look like an ornament. They had these other bottles with like the wrap on them. They sucked. So I've saved bottles to fill in case I don't have a good bottle too, because these just look so good. We have a problem. I have a problem. I'll wrap my wife into it because she smiles when she drinks it. But yeah, we drink a lot of schnapps. Okay, let's. All right, let's battle this out. Julia said, should be comparing with Thunder Lull. No, I should not. We've accepted the fact that Thunder Lull is the worst peppermint schnapps. Needs no competition. However, maybe one of these days, just to keep things exciting. All right, I'm going to start with Rumpelmann's, since I've had plenty of the Voltage. If we analyze the color, it's clear. The clarity, it's clear. We smell it. Smells like peppermint, like light peppermint. Let me get a sniff of both of these first. Okay, I've got a good one of that. Oh yeah, like it's not even a competition. Just on aroma alone, this smells like fake like chemical peppermint. It doesn't smell like a candy cane, whereas the Voltage smells like liquefied candy canes. I say it every week. It smells so freaking good. If you haven't got a bottle yet, I should get like some kind of an affiliate link where you can, anytime somebody buys peppermint schnapps because I've talked about it so much, I get like a nickel. That's what needs to happen. Cincinnati Distilling, reach out, because I need a nickel for how many bottles I've sold. All right, let me see. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, there it is. I'm going to leave a little bit of that left. Yeah, it's not bad. It's definitely kind of a little more watery than I think this one is. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says, I so want one of those mousse shot glasses. Yeah, we use these a lot, as you guys have seen on this show, but just in normal life, we use them a lot. We also have a bigger glass that is, I think it's sitting in on the bar, that is like a full-size one that we've replaced like 7 times because it always gets broken. let's see. Lots of schnapp song lyrics, okay? Finished a rhubarb, now started in on some homebrew old ale. That's from Eric's Latest Mistake. That sounds good. Marco says, I need nickels. They need nickels. Seems like a no-brainer. We'll talk about it. Ryan said, I can't schnapp loving you. Yeah, there's a lot of schnapp puns that could be used. All right, let me get into the Voltage and then see what this is like. Oh, man, it smells so much better. Smells better, tastes better, it feels better. Like, it's just like, there's more texture to it, more flavor to it, more aroma to it. It's just better schnapps. Way better. All right, we'll cuvée them. Let me try to get them even here for science, you know. Eric says, I saw you at Sonder when I picked up my barley wine on Tuesday. My wife is glad I didn't go all fanboy. Always go fanboy. Always. Okay, I think we're good. Schnapp into a Slim Jim. That's my favorite. That's what we should do. We should take the Thunder Lull and infuse it with Slim Jims, and then let that be the experiment. All right. I don't know if I can do this without spilling it everywhere. These are great for drinking out of, but they're not great for dumping. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Oh, we did it. That is why I am a professional.
Okay.
And then we got to do the scientific mixing. This is where you just grab his antlers and you give him a little shake. Science. Okay.
Get these out of the way.
All right. All right, let's give him a little whiffy whiff. Okay. Smells like peppermint still. But kind of like a mix between candy canes and chemicals. That's what it smells like. I really need to build like a little, instead of having like an actual functional cabinet back here with like photo gear in it, this needs to be like a little bar, like a little tiny bar with all of my schnapps. I guess there's probably room I could do both. Maybe. Okay. Here we go. All right, you know what? That's actually not bad. It takes everything that I love about the voltage and gives it like this little snap that it doesn't have otherwise. That's actually great. I don't know that I think it's better, but it is great. Okay. I encourage everybody to do that. If you have bottles of peppermint schnapps laying around, mini bottles of peppermint schnapps laying around, I encourage you to just dump them together. Nothing bad can happen. Marco says that candy canes and chemicals sounds like a metal song from the 90s or the early 2000s, or like maybe an emo band or something. Okay, I'm gonna open a beer. Let me shift some things over so that we fill the gaps here on the table. All right, here's my beer vent beer, and we have a glass. I am messing up my system of drinking out of proper glassware on every single beer because I didn't know what glass to grab. All right, today's beer vent pick, still nice and cold. Allagash White. See, you ruined it, Julia. You ruined it. That's what I think about that. Okay, this is a great beer. 5.2%. It's a Belgian wheat beer, a wit beer. It's been around forever, but not been around here forever. This has probably been around since the mid to late 90s, and it was here for a long time. It was an early craft beer that I had, and then they went through this phase in their business, Allagash, where let me pour this. Allagash was an early, I guess, second wave craft brewery, and they kind of were forced to grow very quickly in order to sell enough beer to stay in business. The way that they sold beer, with a wit beer being one of their core styles, was they went wide. They went as wide as they could because most bars would not sell their beer because nobody understood what it was. And the ones that agreed to buy it had trouble selling it because nobody knew what it was. They were, I think at the time, selling this and probably like a double or something like that, like a Belgian double. It was how they differentiated themselves, and it's hard to say it was the wrong decision because it seems to have worked out, but it was confusing for consumers. So they had to go really wide to sell enough beer to keep the lights on. As they continued to grow and evolve, they realized very quickly that they could not properly service the markets that they were in because they were so wide, and slowly started kind of shifting that back into a smaller footprint. And one of those casualties of that shifting was us here in Ohio and Cincinnati. We just couldn't get their beer anymore. And it was depressing. Allagash Triple was the other flagship, according to Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News. That's very possible. I just remember this one from back then. All I can taste now is schnapps. That'll be fun. This says, we brew this award-winning Belgian-style wheat beer with coriander and curacao, orange peel to be citrus-forward, hazy, and refreshing. Okay. I can tell you this beer is hazy, refreshing, and citrus-forward. Clearly, it's hazy. It is a white beer. It is bright. Not white, but that's the style. It is kind of a hazy, light yellow, but there is kind of a paleness to it. It's really pretty. Big, fluffy, white head on it. I love that this beer is still around. There are a lot of kind of core beers from those older breweries that just ceased to exist at some point, and they've managed to keep this one going strong. And I would say continually going stronger over time, which is a really, really rare thing for a brewery that is their size, their age, with a flagship beer like this. Like, it gets bigger. it's great. I remember this has been maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 summers ago, we took a vacation down to North Carolina, and we ran into the food line to get our groceries, and there was a big end cap display of this beer. And like, as soon as I saw it, like, this big like wave of nostalgia hit me, and I went, you know what? This is what I'm drinking this week. And I bought a ton of it and just slammed these by the pool and sitting on the deck, and fell back in love with this beer. So when they came back to Ohio this year, I was absolutely thrilled. And we're going to see why, because I'm going to drink it. All right. Oh, yeah. That big kind of coriander note. A lot of people's first foray into something like a Belgian wit beer would be Blue Moon. This is not a Blue Moon. However, it does share some characteristics with that beer. However, it is not as sweet. It's a little crisper. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, God, yeah. That is so good. It's not a crazy beer. It's not like over the top. It's not trendy. It's not crazy. It's not hard to get. It's just a great, well-executed beer. I feel comfortable in saying that it's the most award-winning wit beer in the country. It's probably been around the longest out of any wit beer in the country. Great beer. Like, look at the head on that. It's like foamy, delicious ice cream just sitting on top of the liquid. It's beautiful. Oh, and it does, like, when I taste it, if I think about Blue Moon and kind of that kind of relationship to Belgian wit beer, like, it does bring a lot of like orange sweetness to the party, but not in that same way. It just tastes better. Oh, man. Great beer. Not something that's crazy. So here's what's fun about the beer event calendar. Like, there are picks in there that are beers that I have never had before, that nobody's ever had before because they're exclusive, that I haven't had in a long time, that I would never pick for myself. There's a lot of those types of picks. Then there's picks like this. There's a beer that I try to drink one of these every few weeks or so somewhere. I'll grab one and just drink it because I love the beer. But there are so many people out there, especially newer craft beer drinkers that maybe weren't around or weren't drinking craft beer when Allagash was here, that have never had this beer. And to provide an excuse for them to try it, to force it upon them in some way through the through the magic of a beer event calendar. I think it's amazing. I'm also realizing we're having a couple internet issues, and I'm going to try to fix that if I can without losing the show. Hang on, let me grab a cable from the other room here. I'm not dealing with this tonight, and I will tell you why in just a second. Entertain yourselves. Talk to each other. Here, I'll turn if I can. There, we will shift the room mic. There we go. Now, hopefully, I can yell to you while I get this fixed. One of these days, I will figure it out. So on Mondays, typically during the day, I work from home. And so the cable that I use to connect my computer to the router goes to my office. And then sometimes I forget to run it back in here for the show. Because I'm a glutton for punishment. That might cut for a second. We will... Come on, reconnect. Reconnect. I think we're still here. I don't know if that did any damage to the actual stream itself. How's that working? All right, I think we're... I'll wait till I see. Okay, I think we're good. Chris says, as a network engineer, this kills me. Yeah, well, we're back. Yeah. One of these days, I will run Ethernet in here, because I just haven't yet. It's two separate rooms. It's dumb. It's all dumb. It's all right. We're hardwired connected now. The thing that's crazy to me is that it shouldn't be that big of a difference. Like, it shouldn't be, like, I should have enough of a wireless signal right here to stream just fine. The router is right there. It's right, I can see it from here. It's right there. And yet, sometimes I can't. I guess it depends. Well, it's way too nerdy. Let's move on to something we can actually talk about. All right, that beer is so good. I'm also a little warm. So let's get into that before we get into the other topics. My life lately. So not only has work life been weirdly chaotic, not weirdly chaotic. It's as chaotic as you would expect, especially this time of year. We decided recently that we were going to replace our roof, which was fine. It needed done. It was fine, but it created just a bunch of stuff that needed to happen around that. Right before kind of winter hit and everything, trying to make sure it all happened in time, and it was nuts. Then, as we did hit winter, and this is my fault, and you guys can make fun of me for it, feel free. This is something that I did to myself. It started getting cold, and we went to turn on the heat for the first time, which was when I remembered. That was the point that I remembered. Oh, yeah. Like, at the very end of winter last year, like the last week of cold, my furnace was acting a little goofy. And I made a mental note to myself at that time, last winter, a big mental note. I said, hey, self, don't forget, you need to check this before it gets cold again. And then it got warm and summer hit, and that mental note just went away. But guess what popped back up? That mental note, as soon as we fired that heat on for the first time, and there was no heat. So for the last couple of weeks, we have had no heat from one of our furnaces. We have two furnaces, so it's not the end of the world. We were fine. The house was kept a nice low 60s, which is perfect for me. I enjoy it. That's what I would keep it at if I was allowed to. But we had to get it fixed. So we finally had somebody out today. And I knew what the problem was. And this, what was it, probably early, maybe mid last week, one night, I was actually home for once. And I'm like, honey, I'm gonna go dive into the furnace and see what's going on here. And I popped it open, and I could clearly diagnose what the problem is. One of the motors was shot, very shot. And I looked at it and said, I think I could fix that. Like, I can do that. That's always my downfall. I can definitely do that. So I looked it up. The part was like maybe $200 or so to get the new motor, and I need a weekend to fix it. And I told her, I said, here's what's going on. And she's like, can you fix that? And I said, yep. And she said, are you sure you don't want me to call somebody? And I said, no, you don't need to call anybody. I can fix that. So I, maybe a day or two later, I went and I cleared stuff out around the furnace. I'm like, today's the day I'm going to fix this furnace. I'm going to pull this part off. I'm going to make sure I get the right part number. I'm going to order it, get it on Amazon. It'll be here, day or two. I get everything cleared out, and I'm like, all right, I need to go, and I need to get some tools out of the garage. I need to get this all figured out. I walk out to the garage, and there is a mountain of full boxes. And it's not like it's not anything that can be easily moved. It's like boxes of like books and all kinds of stuff, all piled up right in front of the toolbox that I needed to get to. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna start moving this stuff. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do this myself. And I turned off the light and I walked back in the house and I said, honey, you know what? I'm not doing it this time. I'm tired and I'm not doing it. Let's call somebody and just let's call somebody. And she said, all right. So we called somebody and they came out today and he popped it open. Yeah, we were kind of talking and making a few jokes, and he said, so what do you think it is? And I told him my diagnosis, and he's like, yep, you nailed it. And he walked over and he showed me, and he's like, yeah, that's shot. And I said, yeah. And he's like, but I think I can get it. I think I can get it working tonight. And I said, all right, you do that. And he, with some really clever technique with a screwdriver and a couple slaps and stepping back a little bit while he did it so he didn't die, he got it running. He's like, I can't promise it's going to run all night. He's like, the motor may just completely destroy itself. It may overheat. So keep an eye on that. He's like, but you'll have heat tonight, and, we'll have the new part and get out tomorrow and fix it. So it's halfway fixed tonight. We have heat. And then it'll be all the way fixed tomorrow and we'll have proper heat. And the cost, when it's all said and done, because the part is, as we figured out, still covered by warranty, because we put in a new furnace maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, still covered under warranty. Oh, yeah, the part. So if I had done it my way and just did it myself, I would have just ordered the new part and put it in. Would have been like $200 or so. This is going to end up costing me maybe $250 to not have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. So, I feel like a winner because of that. But now I'm starting to break a sweat because I put on long sleeves today because it was a little chilly. Long story short, let's jump into a topic, should we? the first thing I want to talk about tonight is if you've never experienced this, we really need to talk about it. SantaCon is coming this weekend. If you've never experienced SantaCon, I don't know if I should tell you that you definitely should go experience SantaCon this weekend, or if I should tell you to avoid it like the plague. The text that I put on here says, "Have you ever seen extra letter there? Have you ever seen Santa puking in the street?" It's a joke because it's funny, but it's also not a joke at all. I have seen Santa puking in the middle of the street. Santa Claus, like straight up dude dressed like Santa, vomiting in the middle of the street, then standing up, cheering, and then walking into the next bar. It is a complete shit show, but it's hilarious. It is the best people watching. It's people dressed like Santa, the Grinch, reindeer, the whole nine yards, all just out obliterated. You get a wristband. It's like $10 for the wristband if you get it ahead of time. And there's like 50 to 70 different bars all downtown that are part of the bar crawl. Your money for your wristband goes to The Cure Starts Now. So it goes towards a good cause. You feel good about it. And then you get like specials in different bars with your wristband. And people, it starts at noon and it goes like all night. And people just drink all day long dressed like Santa Claus. It is the weirdest thing. Like if you walk through like OTR at the banks or something where there's a good lot of people, it is just a sea of red and white. Like all of these Santas just like walking down the sidewalks from bar to bar. It's crazy. Julia says that Christmas annoys me enough as it is. I don't need to be around a billion Santas. I'll need to get bailed out of jail, probably. You don't want to do that because if you go to jail during SantaCon, you'll be sitting in a cell with a bunch of Santas. Like, that's it. That's the way it is. It's just Santa everywhere. And not even the good, like, Santa. Not even the real Santa. It's just people dressed like Santa. Like, they've got these rules with SantaCon because it's a big nationwide thing. It's a big charity thing. And they have rules that you have to respect the suit, you know, don't tease kids, you know, don't do things that would disrespect Santa. But that's all they do, especially like once that sun goes down and it starts getting later in the day, man, it gets sloppy. And the times that I've gone just to watch, I've never dressed like Santa to go drinking. That's probably not true. I've definitely probably wore a Santa hat before and drank, but not for SantaCon. And, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. Just like post up, like find yourself a little spot on the street, maybe next to like Goodfellas or something. One of those good, like late night spots that once people are drunk, they're like, oh, I need to go here. Just post up and just watch, just sit and watch the hilarity ensue. I think I am encouraging you to go. I think that's what's happening right now. I'm telling you that you should go. It is this weekend, I think Saturday, is that right? Saturday I can't even read my own artwork on the screen because it's so tiny. The 13th or whatever that is, Saturday. From noon until midnight, or really noon until people are out. it's wild. Ryan says no one likes a sloppy Santa. Santa is not sloppy. Proper Santa is not sloppy. I have not talked about this on here, and I have to be careful with how I what I say and everything. But one of my gigs this winter has been working with Santa. I'm taking Santa pictures at a place, and so I work with Santa. And he is not sloppy. He is completely professional. He is he knows his stuff, and he knows it. He knows how to do his job perfectly. He would never be sloppy ever I don't even think Santa drinks. I don't know. If he did, he would probably drink peppermint schnapps, in my opinion. But I don't think he does. I don't know. He just goes and talks to kids and then goes back to the North Pole and makes toys and does his thing. It's amazing. He is something else. These people are not Santa. However, they are celebrating Santa-isms. Santa-isms? Is that a thing? Should be. Lots of rum. And I think the historic Santa definitely drank lots of rum. He had those rosy cheeks and the rosy nose. He was definitely drinking something. We leave Santa beer every year at my house. We leave him a beer on Christmas Eve. Actually, not even Christmas Eve anymore. We have a weird tradition in my house because on Christmas Eve, we go to my in-law's house. So Santa comes to my house early. He actually comes even earlier than Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve morning, we go to my family's house, my parents' house, and we do our Christmas there with them. Then when we leave there, we come home, we reload the car with more presents, take all of those to go to my wife's house, my wife's family's house. Not my wife's house. My wife lives here with me. My wife's family's house. We spend the evening Christmas Eve there. They have one party at one house there. And then on Christmas Day, there's a whole nother party, like for lunchtime, at her grandma's house, which is just a couple miles away from there. So we spend the night Christmas Eve into Christmas Day with her parents at their house. So we're not home from like Christmas through the actual Christmas block. So Santa comes to our house on the 23rd in the morning. It's an understanding we have. One of the advantages of working with Santa is that you can make these arrangements with Santa, and my kids understand that. Are we now making song parodies out of rum? What is happening on the chat tonight? I'm missing half of it. I'll have to go back and read the chat afterwards. Okay. So, SantaCon. SantaCon is happening this weekend. If you enjoy chaos the way that I enjoy chaos, you should probably go. Moving on, we talked a lot about Voltage Peppermint Schnapps and how they should give me a nickel. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people this week about the latest from Fig Leaf. They put up let me pull this up instead of just my fun little quip here. They put up a thing on their social media. $3 beers all December at Fig Leaf. And on Tuesdays, $2 beers at Fig Leaf. I have thoughts about this. And now, most of the people that I have talked to, general consensus is this is not a good sign. This means that the brewery is in trouble, or maybe not in trouble, but giving up on beer. They are liquidating all of their beer, and they will either not sell beer at all anymore, they're just going to switch to spirits and sell spirits, or they will contract to somebody else. But the general thought that people are passing along to me is that it doesn't make any sense to be running a deal like this if you take your beer seriously long term. This is a strange move. Either Fig Leaf itself is completely going away, the tap room is eliminating all of their inventory of beer and closing, or it's a bigger sign for beer in the March 1st family of brands. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says that's an inventory reduction sale. Yes, yes. I mean, it's a great deal. Like, that's a good deal, especially in December. You know, sometimes we need a little break. Money's tight. That is a great deal. Especially at $2 beers on Tuesdays, and they've got their beer is better than it's been in a very long time. However, You don't sell great beer for $2 or $3 if you're wanting to run a successful tap room for very long. Eric's latest mistake says, I thought Fig Leaf was the production space for March 1st. It is. Fig Leaf is the beer production space for March 1st. Eric says, maybe they are short pours. Maybe. Maybe they are. I guess I have not been there to verify. I have not heard that they are anything but regular full pours. I know that they don't have like half pours or something like glassware. I don't think I've ever seen that there. They have either tasters or full pints. No, this is me just talking out of my butt. let's rewind a little bit back in time. Let's look at where things have been over the last 6 months or so, or year, with the March 1st brand of family of brands, whatever you want to. March 1st, the March 1st company. They temporarily closed Woodburn, temporarily, only to then put it up for sale. And shut it down. They have shuttered their biggest, well, other than the distillery, their biggest taproom project that they have ever done, and that was the Fountain Square Taproom, which they put a lot of time and a lot of money and effort into, only to then shut it down very abruptly. They have said to me, that their business is all about spirits now. Made it pretty clear that they still love beer, but it's not their business at all. It's booze. Then they reportedly have laid off lots of people in several different waves, have shifted a lot of people's positions into other things, cut a lot of people's pay. I don't think that the March 1st business is in a good spot right now. And I don't know that it's in a bad spot. I think that there can be decisions that are made that shift things in the right spots that'll keep things running. But that shift has nothing to do with beer right now. And I think that there are some business people that will look at the market right now and what's happening with beer and say, all right, I'm done with beer, because that's not what people are buying right now. That's not the decision that I agree with, and I don't think that's the right decision, but there are people that will make that decision. And maybe that's March 1st, maybe not. It looks to me, when you look at this, maybe that's March 1st. Maybe that's what's happening here. And I think that it is a big hint that it is their beer production facility that is serving $2 and $3 beers. Yeah. If you love Fig Leaf, I would go hang out a little bit this month to spend some time there. That's what I think. I think, I can't even find where my mouse is now. It's over there. Now it's down there. All right. I have like some messages that are not coming through on the chat. And that's bothering me now. It's all right. They're coming through for everybody here. I'm pointing at a screen that you guys can't see. So I think you guys are good. But if I miss something, I apologize. Cappy Snacks is what we were talking about now. Okay. So is craft beer dead? Is the I guess the topic that I wrote down. And I don't think craft beer is dead. I think that craft beer is changing dramatically right now. And I think that there are some businesses that are equipped to weather that storm. And there are some businesses that are equipped to evolve with that storm. I hope that makes the proper amount of sense. Well, I'm not sure that it does, but I don't know. I'm gonna open another beer, and then it doesn't matter. That is such a good beer. I do think that I have finally cracked the code that I've been looking to solve with doing after shows with this show. I think I finally figured all that out. Okay, I'm going to let you guys make a decision here. Julia says it's cyclical. Some of the older places are cycling out while new places are cycling in. Nothing is dying. I agree. But then we'll talk about this in a minute. I pulled two beers out of the cellar because this is beer cellar season for me. This is when I start kind of rolling through some of the stuff that's been hanging out in there. I have one that is a lighter, funky beer. And then I have one that is a darker, heavier beer. I'm going to let you guys decide if I go light and funky or dark and heavy. Your choice. And I'll probably dump schnapps in it either way. So decide based on that. Julie says it's okay. There are places that are newer, that they maybe could survive, that are for whatever reason deciding to change their business. All right, Ryan says dark and heavy. All right, we'll let that one go. Right, dark and heavy then. Julia says funk flag. Too late. Ryan got it first, and it's his birthday. Bottle of Dark Charge. Why not? We should talk about Dark Charge a little bit. Dark Charge Day was this last weekend, and this is the very first Dark Charge Day that I did not go to. It was also the first Dark Charge Day where they were hot poking beers. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to feel about it. I've been really struggling with it over the last couple days, trying to grasp the idea that I've broken that streak of all of them. So that also means that it doesn't mean anything. Okay. Eric says, if you're adding in schnapps, go dark and heavy. Yeah, see, where's the fun in that? It would have been see, everybody's thinking that way. You're supposed to create things that don't taste good for me. That's half the fun. Chris says, dark and heavy, best peppermint. Yep. Julia says, I'm certain they didn't poke as well as you poke. Nobody pokes as good as me. All right. This is from last year. This is the Graters box. This is the toffee chocolate chip. Oh, we didn't even use the beer cam earlier. Toffee chocolate chip Dark Charge. I've not had it since Dark Charge Day last year. Okay. This is with toffee, cocoa nibs, and vanilla. After drinking the toffee family tradition last week, I thought that this would be good because I'm on a toffee kick. I've been trying the last few years to not, like, just save beers, not to let my closet fill up with a bunch of beers that I'm waiting for the proper time to drink. This is This is an attempt at that, too. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to drink this by myself. No special occasion. That is a dark beer. I love, 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 love Dark Charge. I love how all of our breweries here in town that do these big Imperial Stout releases manage to all give them a unique personality. Like, you, it's not just like... There was a period of time where people were releasing New England IPAs, and they all just kind of started to feel about like the same beer, just with slight differences. That's not the way the Imperial Stouts are, and I love that. Julia's mad. She says she's picked Funky. Yes. You were the only one that thought like good entertainment. Eric says strawberry schnapps. I don't have any strawberry schnapps, but that sounds great. Somebody bring me some strawberry schnapps. That sounds awesome. Chris, I have a 2013 Bigfoot that I'm waiting for a specific announcement. Yeah. I used to keep a big vertical of Bigfoot, and then I drank them all. Well, when you get that specific announcement, we'll celebrate. We'll grab something fun out of the cellar, and we'll all celebrate together. It's dark. All right, toffee. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't even know that this is gonna go good with peppermint. Oh man. Oh, that is great. I haven't even tasted it, and oh, man. Yeah, like caramel, toffee, chocolate. Oh, this is going to be good. Oh, this is going to be good. All right. Cheers. Oh, that's great. That's not just good. That is great. It's sweet, but man, it's good. Oh. Then that roastiness comes in. Yeah, that's a hell of a beer. Man, like, I know that there are people that don't love Braxton, and I get it. Braxton makes a lot of, like, safe beer, or has in the last... a few years made a lot of safe beer. This is a great beer. They know what they're doing. Great brewery. Oh, that's good. Oh yeah, that's wonderful. I tell you what. We're approaching an hour. I'm going to be a complete jerk, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to go after show. I'm going to make an after show for all of you on Patreon, and we're going to schnapp it there. But I have to, because I got to test this new method of after shows. So we'll wrap things up. Oh man, that's so good. Chris says, now Skyline Dark Charge with hot sauce. I still don't have my Skyline Dark Charge. I actually don't know if I'll get any. We'll see. All right. I'm going to wrap things up. Shout out to all of you guys for hanging out and making this thing happen every week. If you've been following along, you know that I'm about to. I'm launching a magazine next year, like a print magazine, like a full-on actual physical magazine. The first issue will hopefully be out in the spring. For all of you on Patreon, you know what it's called already. I haven't publicly announced what it's called yet, but it'll be soon. And I've got a lot of work to go still before it's ready, but it will be ready next year. And please support that however you can. There will be an opportunity if you don't want to spend the money for a print subscription, because a copy of this magazine will be a little more expensive than like what I remember magazines costing as a kid. It'll be a little more expensive than that. It's not going to be crazy. It'll definitely be. I shouldn't say definitely. I'm trying to keep it under $15 for the print version of it. And there will be a digital option for everybody that doesn't want to spend that amount of money on a magazine. I get it. But I'm going to try to make as many opportunities for people to be involved with this thing one way or another as possible. The first issue, the first volume, the first whatever we're calling it that comes out will be all articles written by me. Only because there's no money coming in yet. And if I'm going to have articles written, I want to make sure that I'm paying people. With that being said, I should specify this, and this should probably be after show stuff, but I've started talking to some potential sponsors, and some of those sponsors may have sponsored article. There may be some. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work yet. We're working on some fun stuff. It'll be good. It's going to be fun stuff. I promise that. I will not put out crap. I shouldn't say that because I've put out a lot of crap in my time. I'm going to try not to put out crap. Look, I appreciate all of you guys hanging out with me. If you want to jump on the after show, if you are a Nomi, head over to Patreon in like a couple minutes. I'll have the link up there, or not even a link. I think you can do it straight on Patreon. I think I know how to do that. And we can hang out and... I just threw myself for a loop here trying to figure out if this is going to work the way I wanted it to. I don't think... Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know. I got to figure something else out now. Jeez. I was going to set up for the first time your ability to call in via video on the after show, but I don't know if I'm going to have that ready to go or not. I'll see in a minute. We'll figure it out. Look, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll definitely do this again. We'll probably do it again, I don't know, next week? Same time, same place, maybe? Does that sound good for everybody? I'll check my calendar, but I think that's what we'll do. Thank you, guys. We'll see you then. Oh, man. It did that thing again. Why does that hate me? All right, let's do this. Let's, we'll do it this way, and we'll go. I thought I had it figured out. And I don't. I think, though, I can. This is really exciting stuff, right? This is another example of why this is not a show. If it were a show, I'm looking for a podcast. Okay. If it were a show, we would currently be making everybody mad. That's what I want, and that's what I want, and that's what I want. There it is. Thank you, guys. Except, I don't think you can hear that, can you? You can't. It doesn't even matter. I can hear the outro music. It's ridiculous. Here. I promise it's there. I promise I'll put the music on the mixer tonight. That's what I'll do. So dumb. It's so dumb. I'll see you guys next week. Tune in for the after show where I will talk about all of my other failures. We'll see you guys later. Cheers, everybody.